We had all this contract, the God's Grace, and then Tokyo International Theological Seminary will start in this, from this building, in this building. If we really think about our situation, it was almost impossible to do this. But throughout, with the God's covenant, and then He really, we have received the answer that this is how we're going to start. Well, this ministry that no one can actually imitate. And I was really thankful for that. This building is a little old. We might need to have that all that renovation. We can actually start using this. It's really quite spacious. There will be the Japanese language school have this seminary. There's one music school. One elder actually bought this theological seminary, and then they've been really raising up all these musicians. But this elder has the school, but he doesn't have the building. And this elder in March, I will meet with this elder. There's like 50 to 60 people, then they will actually have the orchestra. They want to learn theological seminar, theology. We're going to have the alliance. And we will really have all this we'll have this ministry, and this is how all these things have been really settled. And please keep praying for this. We have no choice but to really pray. What we can do, we can only pray. With our prayer, then God will really answer us. So, in March 10th, though the seminary student should really remember this, Pastor Chet, he had like small surgery. He will come to Japan on Wednesday and Thursday, not Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. That date will be changed to March 11th and 12th. So this building, they all have all this facility, then this pastoral ministers really need to get another building. They will actually leave all these things. We will actually give them 5 million yen. Microphone, all these things. We have to invest, but it's all there. But they will leave all these things and they will really move out. I think it's also a blessing to really have all those things. I am not sure how this pastor will really do. They really have to repay the billion yen. They couldn't really repay, and then it was about to, the bank was going to take this building, but right before that, and then we met, and then please keep praying for this building as well. Continuously, we've been really talking about the God's pride. God's pride, the King Josiah's gospel movement. There are the things that we've been really keep praying. In Japan, we should really have 300 regional churches, 3,000 disciples. And the Japanese, or the denomination, and the theological school are really closed down. The next generations don't really go to theological school, and the seminary will be really closed. Within the church, people are really aged, and there's no one who will take that to the next generation. So within a week, within a year, we are not talking about it. We shouldn't be looking at all this short term. You should really think about the pastor's mind, the pastor's vision, and yours must be really, should be the one. And we should be really considering and worried about what to do to leave the covenant behind us. Then maybe if we don't do that, then 10 years and decades later, then this church may be closed down if we can't really raise the next generations. If we don't really have the gospel movement, it will be all closed. So the pastors will be all only paying attention to just maintain and take care of the members of the church at that moment. They are not really looking into the future. So then years and years later, then the things will be really shutting down and closing down. Why? Because there's no next generations. There are no children. They don't have power. All this seminary school are all closing down. And they are the conservative seminary school. However, there are no students, but they are at the very edge of closing because they don't have the students. So we should really look at the future. Even though we are a small church, and through our prayer, God is really raising up all these next generations to really revive and save Japan, save this country, and seminary school and everything in the world. So one prayer is very important. And you should become someone who will really become the one to preach the gospel and pray. So it shouldn't be only you who will come to this church and then listen to the gospel. But you have to really make sure that this gospel will be really passed on to the next generations. This mind and heart to really be, that we really want to leave the gospel. That kind of thing should be really relayed to the next generations. And why do we have the school? Also, same thing with ACS. This is how I really pray. Among you, among your kid, that is the students in ACS will become the next generation, not to bow down before the shrine, not to bow down before any kinds of idols. Since they are young, then when you really look into all this festival season, then they will be really carrying this portable shrine. And it might seem just the little things, but then these ideologies of idol worshiping will enter into them and it will remain in them. That's why even if we really preach the right gospel, accurate gospel to them, but they cannot really accept it. But in this kind of country, then God really built the ACS. It's not really about the learning English. It's not really about entering to the good school. They really have to receive all the education. They will be really have to graduate and they will go to college, and then they should really enter into the theological seminary so that they enter into each district, region to revive. We should really have that kind of vision. You should really pray, keep praying for this kind of vision. First, the reasons for establishing theological seminaries. What's the reason? Through the history of Israel, why should we really have the seminary school, theological seminaries, and why should we have the rising the disciples? It's the age era of Joseph. Joseph was 17 years old, and then he came to Egypt as the slave. He was in the prison. He was having this slavery life. Then many things happened to him. Then Joseph actually became the prime minister of Egypt. Then when he really became the prime minister, then all his family, Israelites, were actually revived that prosperity. Then the land of Egypt was given to them, his family. But after Joseph's death, then this new generation will come, which they actually don't know about Joseph. Right now, your kids are here, give worship. After we die, then what's going to happen to those generations? What did they have really received it? What kind of things have been become their ideologies? And what's been imprinted, what's been rooted? So it's not really about you just going to try to raise them up, raise them in a way you want them. We have to make sure that you will deliver this covenant to the next generations. After Joseph, the Exodus 1, 6 to 10. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all the generation died. In verse 7, but the Israelites were exceedingly fruitful. They multiplied greatly, increased in numbers, and became so numerous, and the land was filled with them. When Joseph was alive in the land of Goshen, then all the Israelites were really treated well, as if they are VIP. But they are really exceedingly fruitful. It was very envious that what kind of life they were actually having in Egypt. But the God's will is not really to live with the prosperity or living a life that is envious. That God's covenant, God's plan was for them to enter into the land of Canaan. However, because they were actually having the good life in Egypt, then they forgot, they didn't really deliver this covenant to the next generations. For 350 years, they lived as the slave. So you should really remember that. Then Joshua came in when they already had the land of Canaan conquered. But after Joseph, Judges 2, 8 to 10, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. And verse 10, after that, whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. They actually went to enter into the land of Canaan. But after Joshua, that these next generations after Joshua, what they didn't know? They didn't know the Lord. Why they didn't know? Then the covenant was not really given, delivered to the next generations. All the 12 tribes, and then they actually separated split all this land of Canaan. Then they actually enter into the Canaan. They live there. But they didn't really raise, they couldn't really raise up all these disciples to really have, just like how what happened after Joseph. Then after Joshua, they couldn't really deliver this covenant to the next generations. Do you understand? Have some reaction. What kind of life should we really have? King Hezekiah, what kind of king was he? For 29 years, he was a king, and he tried to rebuild the kingdom. He tried to rebuild the faith. But after Hezekiah, what happened? After Hezekiah, who is the son of Hezekiah? It was Manasseh. For 55 years, Manasseh was governing this kingdom, Israel, for 55 years. And this king was like a servant of Satan. He was Antichrist. So Manasseh should have really received the covenant from the king Hezekiah, but he actually did all these satanic things like idol worshiping, and many things happened. Then Ammon, the son of Manasseh, was Ammon. So that's the grandson of King Hezekiah. Then he really, this also, he became also the king after Manasseh. And he had many like great job. However, he couldn't actually deliver this covenant to the next generations throughout the line of kings. And these kings turned into the bad ones. Simply put, he couldn't really deliver the covenant to the next generations. As a gospel church, we have to make sure that the covenant must be really passed on to the next generations. That this is how we can actually revive the one age, one generation. There's no better work than this. When you really look at your children, you may not really like how they really live, what kind of life, walk of faith they have. They're not listening to you. And no seed has been really sown, seems like. But it's impossible for us to change them. But because of your prayer, God will move. Because of your prayer, the Holy Spirit will be working. Through your prayer, God is the one who will work. So that's why only through the prayer, then everyone can be changed. So when you really look at your children, you really have to shed your tears and then pray for them, because are you going to persuade them, convince them? No. How are they going to be changed? They're going to be changed by prayer. You have to really keep praying. When you really pray, then the prayer will be really delivered to the heaven. Then because the angels will be really working for you. So how can you really change the next generations? With a tear, you really have to pray. That's what I told you. When Jesus Christ had the cross and then tried to go to the the hill of Golgotha. And then people were crying for Jesus. But Jesus turned back and said, "Woman, don't cry for me, but cry for your offsprings." Because Jesus actually knew how the age will be really changing, how important the next generations will be. Cry for your children. Have the tears for your children. The tears of the parents will be really taken by God, because the children are your fruit. So, through the prayer of the parent, just like St. Augustine, then through the prayer, and then those next generations will be really come back to God. And St. Augustine, through this person, Calvin, all this religious reformer, were actually rising. And then this covenant had been really passed on to us. St. Augustine was really corrupted. He was good at math. He was really familiar with all the laws. He was very smart, but he was corrupted. He fell into all these sexual affairs, and his mentality, he was also sick. But through the prayer of Mother Monica, because of that prayer, then he was rising. Then he had all this religious reformation, and then through the disciples of him, all this movement was really taking place. If we really believe in those God's work, then we still have a hope in this age. Because through our prayer, God is the one who will really work upon us, work upon this age. That's what you really have to know. It's too early to be disappointed. Don't use your thought and mind and then look at the kids. Because that's how God will really work upon them. So in your mind, in your heart, the next generations, your offsprings, or the kids from kinder of ACS, or the infants, baby, and until they really graduate, we should really make sure that we will plant this gospel in them. And when they really graduate, then they should really change the college. Then they should, when they really enter to the world, they should really be entering to the next generation, to the world, to change. The teachers must pray, and the parents must pray, and all the people of the church should pray, keep praying. Just one person really need to come out, then it should be your child. When they really come out, and then that's how we can actually change. It's not really about the be able to speak English, be able to study math or science. That's not everything. The most important thing is that they will really know the gospel, they will fear God, then they know what the church is, and then what kind of things that we must really have to revive this age. We must have that kind of next generations. That's why the God really built our school, and that this is why the God actually is building the theological seminary. So number two is faith reformation. What is the great reformation? That spiritual reformation. Who was the King Josiah? King Hezekiah was grandpa. Amon was his father. However, his grandpa and father were actually Antichrist. Then how exactly this King Josiah really came out? Because of the influence of the mother. His mother is Yodida. The mother of the King Josiah. That he learned the faith from his mother. First thing he did was to really rebuilding the temple, repairing it. He really rebuild the temple. The most important thing is restoring the church is important. How? Through the worship, then through the prayer, through the Word of God. Through the Word of God, through the covenant, through the gospel, we should really make sure that you have the spiritual reformation. Then that is how we can actually restore the church. So every single day, you really have to listen to the pulpit message. Every day, you read the Bible. Every day, you meditate on God's Word. Then you grab hold onto the Word of God and you pray. That's how you can actually restore your temple. After you actually restore all this worship, the temple, and Book of the Law was discovered. What does that mean, Book of the Law? It was about the five books of Moses. So it's the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Then when they really put the Lamb of blood of the Lamb, and they were really free from all these curses. That is the covenant of Passover, covenant of the blood of Lamb, which is Christ. So he really figured out really right. It's not important to just read the Bible so many times. One thing that the Bible keeps talking about is Christ. When you really give worship, then the pastor will say here and there, one thing that we really need to realize is that within the Christ, there's everything. That's what you really have to find out. You really have to figure out the Christ. In the book of five books of Moses, what was written, it was about the Lamb of blood of Lamb. Of course, they're talking about these burnt sacrifices, tabernacles, but all the main figure of all these things is actually Christ. So King Josiah actually read the Bible and figured that out. That all the Israelites have actually lost hold of the covenant of this Christ. That's why they fall into the idol worshiping, and then this is why we have the disasters. Then when the Josiah, King Josiah, really realized that, he teared off his clothes and he repent before God. His grandpa, his dad, was Antichrist and that they never serve the Lord, then they're actually creating all this idol worshiping, and then the disaster was following. But King Josiah, was actually reading the Bible, which was actually brought by the Jeremiah. And the King Josiah really found that out about the Christ. Then that was the spiritual reformation. Second Kings 22. It says that King Josiah actually read the Bible scripture, and so there was no one who actually followed all this, who didn't follow the law, book of the law. So when King Josiah was actually looking at his people, then realized because they forgot about this covenant, that's why the disaster came. What does this king do? Kings usually will make weapons so that they can actually be ready for the battle. We are living in the 21st century. Then we should really be able to live a better life. Kings are fighting against kings, and they don't really have any economical, financial power. And to the people, they will have all these pains. And kings are also having a hard time. So you have nothing to do with this? No. Iran and U.S. are having all this conflict. And what is the influence? Then there will be the oil. The price will be really going up, because all of us are having the cars, vehicles. Mine is electronical, but you will need the fuel. But the price of the oil is going up. If that goes up, and everything will be going up, then after all, we'll be influenced by all these things. That's what all the kings in this age are actually doing. And what kind of kings that we should really have, so that the country, a nation, will be revived. Through the word of God, we should be in peace. We should really have the king who can actually scream for that. Then that kind of king is the one who really knows the gospel. That's why among your offsprings, in the future, we should really have this kind of king. Just like King Josiah, you have to grab hold onto the covenant and you have to pray. If you keep praying for them, and then you will actually see the spiritual status, then instead of really pointing that out, then you can actually pray for your child. Why you can't really study? They have the DNA, they have all this environment that they cannot really study. Then this kind of kid will say that you could also study, right? Then there's no excuse for that. You shouldn't be really saying something that will be not convincing them. Or the wisdom is not given by the world. Wisdom is given by God. Even if you don't have the worldly knowledge, if you really know Bible, then they will have lots of wisdom. You should really get close to the scripture. If you really have all this wisdom given by God, and that wisdom will be actually given to the next generations. So just like Timothy. So he should be really familiar with the word of God, and so that he can actually teach. But the kids these days, the world is so, looks much better. Then they are not ready for that, but they try to get it. They will play. They will just try to do all the things. But they haven't really prepared anything, but they are actually wanna be all these things. And then it is really the spiritual problems. It's not really the time for that. But the parents can actually do anything. Then what is, we should really pray to God so that you will receive the wisdom from God, and that your child will also receive that grace and wisdom. So you should really keep praying that your offsprings will be rising as the King Josiah. Prophet Amos talked about like this. It's not really about that they don't have the bread or water. It is the crisis of hearing the God's word. It's not really about it's not about the spiritual bread. And it's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. That's why even though we really try to get all this knowledge from the world, is Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So you and I, to the next generation, when you look at them, you really have to pray for them. Keep praying for them. 2 Kings 23. King Josiah was doing something to his people. The king was so moved. And King Josiah actually opened up his scripture, and then he really called all these people, and he was actually reading this Bible to them. What kind of king is that? Because he had really received the gospel. He really realized why the world had been really corrupting. So the scripture he opened up, then he actually read all these scriptures to his people. This kind of king is great. And then among the next generation, this is how they should really be rising. 2 Kings 23:24. So to really follow what is said in the book of God. So all these people actually got rid of all these idols that they're actually serving. This is the work that it will be really taking place in Japan. This kind of next generation should really appear. All the people, the king will just have all his people sit and be able to listen. And then the people of Israel will really get rid of all these idols and then return to God. Then this is really great story. This is the taste of raising the next generations, the reason for you to live. this kind of day should come. Verse 25. Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the laws of Moses. So there was no one like Josiah. So it's the unprecedented answer. Who received the unprecedented? It was Joshua. Was a time that actually the suns and the moon actually really stopped. Then he actually had the victory. The all this work they really never happened before and never happened after. The Josiah was also unprecedented king. So it's our mission to raise the next generations like that. You shouldn't be teaching all this very thin, shallow faith. Each one of you should really have the Coram Deo before God. I really want to be the next generations like that. Then there got to be the work. That all this kid who should really come out, that I really want to be like this. Then from school, from the Sunday school, from the all this youth, and college student, all these idols will be corrupting. We should really have that kind of next generation. Not only God actually gave us the church, but He gave us the school. He gave us even the seminary, theological seminaries. So God is really telling us to really revive Japan. And number three, restoration of the gospel and the gospel movement. The lamb, blood of the lamb. So there was a Passover. So in the age of the judges, for 300 years, all this, for about 300 years, and they couldn't actually have that Passover. Passover was not really recovered, and they really had all these wars and battles. And just like how the King Josiah really appeared. And the king really repented. And he was really actually reading all this scripture to his people. So you and I, so we may really look that we don't have much power, but it is the blood of Lamb that will give us the life. All the disasters can be really blocked by the blood of Lamb. The pains and everything is just the consequences of all this problem. But how can we actually solve all these things? It can be solved by the blood of Lamb. That was something that the Israelites actually missed. So to the next generations, we really have to give this blood of Lamb. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Throughout the first service, we have received the message about the God's pride, the King Josiah's gospel movement. In this age, let's really have the disciple like King Josiah Let's really have all this. People, please bless us so that we can actually have all this spiritual restoration, reformation. Thank you, Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.